Chapter 14, Peripheral Nervous System, Chapter Summary. Here's a tip. Listen to this summary after reading the chapter to help you reinforce the key concepts. Before class or your next test, you can also use the summary as a quick review. Spinal nerves. 31 pairs of spinal nerves are connected to the spinal cord. The spinal nerves have no special names, but are numbered by level of vertebral column at which they emerge from the spinal cavity. There are 8 cervical nerve pairs, C1 through C8, 12 thoracic nerve pairs, T1 through T12, 5 lumbar nerve pairs, L1 through L5, 5 sacral nerve pairs, S1 through S5, and 1 coccygeal nerve pair. Lumbar, sacral, and coccygeal nerve roots descend from point of origin to the lower end of the spinal cord, that is, the level of first lumbar vertebra, before reaching the intervertebral foramina of the respective vertebrae, through which the nerves emerge. Cauda equina describes the appearance of the lower end of the spinal cord and its spinal nerves as a horse's tail. Each spinal nerve attaches to the spinal cord by a ventral, anterior root, and a dorsal, posterior root. The dorsal root ganglion is the swelling in the dorsal root of each spinal nerve. All spinal nerves are mixed nerves. The ramus is one of several large branches formed after each spinal nerve emerges from the spinal cavity. The dorsal ramus supplies somatic motor and sensory fibers to smaller nerves that innervate the muscles and skin of the posterior surface of the head, neck, and trunk. The ventral ramus is more complex than the dorsal ramus. Autonomic motor fibers split from the ventral ramus and head toward a ganglion of the sympathetic chain. Some autonomic fibers synapse with neurons that continue on to autonomic effectors through splanchnic nerves, while others synapse with neurons whose fibers rejoin the ventral ramus. Sympathetic rami are the splitting and rejoining of autonomic fibers. Motor and sensory fibers innervate muscles and glands in the extremities and lateral and ventral portions of neck and trunk. The nerve plexuses are a complex network formed by the ventral rami of most spinal nerves, but not T2 through T12, subdividing and then joining together to form individual nerves. Each individual nerve that emerges contains all the fibers that innervate a particular region of the body. In plexuses, spinal nerve fibers are rearranged according to their ultimate destination, reducing the number of nerves needed to supply each body part. There are 4 major pairs of plexuses. The cervical plexus is located deep within the neck. It is made up of ventral rami of C1 through C4 and a branch of the ventral ramus of C5. Individual nerves emerging from the cervical plexus innervate the muscles and skin of the neck, upper shoulders, and part of the head. The phrenic nerve exits the cervical plexus and innervates the diaphragm. The brachial plexus is located deep within the shoulder and is made up of ventral rami of C5 through T1. Individual nerves emerging from the brachial plexus innervate the lower part of the shoulder and the entire arm. The lumbar plexus is located in the lumbar region of the back in the psoas muscle and is formed by intermingling fibers of L1 through L4. The femoral nerve exits the lumbar plexus, divides into many branches, and supplies the thigh and leg. The sacral plexus and coccygeal plexus are located in the pelvic cavity in the anterior surface of the piriformis muscle. They are formed by intermingling of fibers from L4 through S4. Tibial, common perineal, and sciatic nerves exit the sacral plexus and supply nearly all the skin of the leg, posterior thigh muscles, and leg and foot muscles. A dermatome is a region of skin surface area supplied by afferent or sensory fibers of a given spinal nerve. A myotome is a skeletal muscle or muscles supplied by efferent or motor fibers of a given spinal nerve. Cranial nerves. 12 pairs of cranial nerves connect to the brain, mostly the brainstem. These are identified by name, determined by either distribution or function, and or number by the order in which they emerge, anterior to posterior. Cranial nerves are made up of bundles of axons. The mixed cranial nerve include axons of sensory and motor neurons. The sensory cranial nerve involves axons of sensory neurons only, while the motor cranial nerve is mainly axons of motor neurons and a small number of sensory fibers, called proprioceptors. The olfactory nerve, or cranial nerve 1, is composed of axons of neurons whose dendrites and cell bodies lie in the nasal mucosa and terminate in olfactory bulbs. It carries information about sense of smell. The optic nerve, or cranial nerve 2, is composed of axons from the innermost layer of sensory neurons of the retina. It carries visual information from the eyes to the brain. The oculomotor nerve, or cranial nerve 3, contains fibers that originate from cells in the oculomotor nucleus and extend to some of the external eye muscles. Efferent autonomic fibers are also present, which extend to the intrinsic muscles of the eye to regulate the amount of light entering the eye and aid focusing on near objects. Sensory fibers from proprioceptors in the eye muscles are also present. The trochlear nerve, or cranial nerve 4, contains motor fibers that originate in cells of the midbrain and extend to the superior oblique muscles of the eye. It also contains afferent fibers from proprioceptors in the superior oblique muscles of the eye. The trigeminal nerve, or cranial nerve 5, has three branches: ophthalmic nerve, maxillary nerve, and mandibular nerve. Sensory neurons carry afferent impulses from the skin and mucosa of the head and teeth to cell bodies in the trigeminal ganglion. Motor fibers originate in the trifacial motor nucleus and extend to the muscles of mastication through the mandibular nerve. The abducens nerve, or cranial nerve 6, is a motor nerve with fibers originating from a nucleus in the pons on the floor of the fourth ventricle and extending to the lateral rectus muscles of the eye. It contains afferent fibers from proprioceptors in the lateral rectus muscles. The facial nerve, or cranial nerve 7, contains motor fibers that originate from a nucleus in lower part of pons and extend to superficial muscles of the face and scalp. Autonomic fibers extend to submaxillary and sublingual salivary glands. The facial nerve also contains sensory fibers from taste buds of the anterior two-thirds of the tongue. The vestibulocochlear nerve, or cranial nerve 8, involves two distinct divisions that are both sensory: vestibular nerve and cochlear nerve. Vestibular nerve fibers originate in the semicircular canals of the inner ear and transmit impulses that result in sensations of equilibrium. Cochlear nerve fibers originate in the organ of Corti in the cochlea of the inner ear and transmit impulses that result in sensations of hearing. The glossopharyngeal nerve, or cranial nerve 9, is composed of sensory, motor, and autonomic nerve fibers. It supplies fibers to tongue, pharynx, and carotid sinus. The vagus nerve, or cranial nerve 10, is composed of sensory and motor fibers with many widely distributed branches. Sensory fibers supply the pharynx, larynx, trachea, heart, carotid body, lungs, bronchi, esophagus, stomach, small intestine, and gallbladder. Somatic motor fibers innervate the pharynx and larynx and are mostly autonomic fibers. The accessory nerve, or cranial nerve 11, is a motor nerve that is an accessory to the vagus nerve. It innervates the thoracic and abdominal viscera, pharynx, larynx, trapezius, and sternocleidomastoid. The hypoglossal nerve, or cranial nerve 12, is composed of motor and sensory fibers. Motor fibers innervate the muscles of the tongue. It contains sensory fibers from proprioceptors in muscles of the tongue. Divisions of the peripheral nervous system. There are two functional divisions of the peripheral nervous system: the afferent, sensory division, and the efferent, motor division. The efferent division is divided further into the somatic motor nervous system and the efferent portions of the autonomic nervous system. Somatic motor nervous system. Basic principles of somatic motor pathways involve the somatic nervous system, which includes all voluntary motor pathways outside the central nervous system, and the somatic effectors, that is, the skeletal muscles. A somatic reflex is an action that results from a nerve impulse passing over a reflex arc. It is a predictable response to a stimulus. In the cranial reflex, the center of the reflex arc is in the brain, while in the spinal reflex, the center of the reflex arc is in the spinal cord. A reflex consists of either a muscle contraction or glandular secretion. A somatic reflex involves the contraction of skeletal muscles. An autonomic or visceral reflex could be either contraction of smooth or cardiac muscle or secretion by glands. Certain somatic reflexes are of clinical importance. Reflexes deviate from normal in certain diseases, and reflex testing is a valuable diagnostic aid. The knee jerk, also known as the patellar reflex, involves the extension of the lower leg in response to tapping the patellar tendon. The tendon and muscles are stretched, stimulating muscle spindles and initiating conduction over a two-neuron reflex arc. It may be classified in several different ways. The ankle jerk, also known as the Achilles reflex, involves the extension of the foot in response to tapping the Achilles tendon. The tendon reflex and deep reflex are mediated by two-neuron spinal arcs. The centers lie in the first and second sacral segments of the spinal cord. The plantar reflex involves the plantar flexion of all toes and a slight turning in and flexion of the anterior part of the foot in response to stimulation of the outer edge of the sole. The Babinski sign is an extension of great toe, with or without fanning of other toes, in response to stimulation of outer margin of the sole of the foot, present in normal infants until approximately 1.5 years of age, and then becomes suppressed when corticospinal fibers become fully myelinated. In humans older than 1.5 years of age, a positive Babinski reflex is one of the pyramidal signs indicating destruction of corticospinal or pyramidal tract fibers. The corneal reflex involves winking in response to the cornea being touched. It is mediated by reflex arcs with sensory fibers in the ophthalmic branch of the fifth cranial nerve, centers in the pons, and motor fibers in the seventh cranial nerve. The abdominal reflex involves the drawing in of the abdominal wall in response to stroking the side of the abdomen. It is classified as a superficial reflex. It is mediated by arcs with sensory and motor fibers in T9 through T12 and centers in these segments of the spinal cord. A decreased or absent reflex may involve lesions of pyramidal tract upper motor neurons. The knee-jerk reflex can be classified as a spinal cord reflex because the center of reflex arc is located in spinal cord gray matter, a segmental reflex because the mediating impulses enter and leave at the same cord segment, an ipsilateral reflex because the mediating impulses come from and go to the same side of the body, a stretch or myotactic reflex, a result of the type of stimulation used to evoke the reflex, an extensor reflex because it is produced by extensors of the lower leg, a tendon reflex because tapping the tendon is the stimulus that elicits the reflex, a deep reflex, a result of the deep location of receptors stimulated to produce the reflex. Autonomic nervous system. The autonomic nervous system contains afferent or sensory and efferent or motor components. The efferent components are emphasized here. The autonomic nervous system carries fibers to and from the autonomic effectors. Its major function is to regulate heartbeat, smooth muscle contraction, and glandular secretions to maintain homeostasis. It has two efferent divisions, sympathetic and parasympathetic. The sympathetic division consists of neural pathways that are separate from parasympathetic pathways. Many autonomic effectors are dually innervated, which allows remarkably precise control of the effector. In the structure of the autonomic nervous system, the basic plan of efferent autonomic pathways involves each pathway made up of autonomic nerves, ganglia, and plexuses, which are made up of efferent autonomic neurons. All autonomic neurons function in reflex arcs. Efferent autonomic regulation ultimately depends on feedback from sensory receptors. Relay of two efferent autonomic neurons conducts information from the central nervous system to the autonomic effectors. The preganglionic neuron conducts impulses from the central nervous system to an autonomic ganglion. The postganglionic neuron is an efferent neuron, with which a preganglionic neuron synapses with an autonomic ganglion. Most ganglia of the sympathetic division lie along either side of the anterior surface of the vertebral column and are joined with other ganglia located on the same side. Each chain runs from the second cervical vertebra to the level of the coccyx. Usually there are 22 sympathetic chain ganglia on each side of vertebral column, 3 cervical, 11 thoracic, 4 lumbar, and 4 sacral. Most sympathetic preganglionic neurons have their dendrite and cell bodies in lateral gray horns of the thoracic and lumbar segments of the spinal cord. Axons leave the cord by way of the ventral roots of the thoracic and first four lumbar spinal nerves and split away from other spinal nerve fibers by the white ramus to a sympathetic chain ganglion. Preganglionic fibers may take one of three paths once inside the sympathetic chain ganglion. The synapse with sympathetic postganglionic neuron, by sending ascending or descending branches through the sympathetic trunk to synapse with postganglionic neurons and other chain ganglia, or they may pass through one or more chain ganglia without synapsing. In the sympathetic postganglionic neurons, dendrites and cell bodies are mostly in sympathetic chain ganglia or collateral ganglia. Gray ramus is a short branch by which some postganglionic axons return to a spinal nerve. In the sympathetic division, preganglionic neurons are relatively short and postganglionic neurons are relatively long. The axon of one sympathetic preganglionic neuron synapses with many postganglionic neurons, terminating in widely spread organs. In the parasympathetic preganglionic neurons, the cell bodies are located in nuclei in the brainstem or lateral gray columns of the sacral spinal cord. They extend a considerable distance before synapsing with postganglionic neurons. In the parasympathetic postganglionic neurons, dendrites and cell bodies are located in parasympathetic ganglia, which are embedded in or near autonomic effectors. The parasympathetic postganglionic neurons synapse with postganglionic neurons that each lead to a single effector. In autonomic neurotransmitters, axon terminal of autonomic neurons releases either of two neurotransmitters, norepinephrine or acetylcholine. Adrenergic fibers release norepinephrine at axons of postganglionic sympathetic neurons. Cholinergic fibers release acetylcholine at axons of preganglionic sympathetic neurons and of preganglionic and postganglionic parasympathetic neurons. Norepinephrine affects visceral effectors by first binding to one of two types of adrenergic receptors in plasma membranes, alpha receptors or beta receptors. Binding of norepinephrine to alpha receptors in smooth muscle of blood vessels is stimulating, causing the vessels to constrict. Binding of norepinephrine to beta receptors in smooth muscle of blood vessels is inhibitory, causing blood vessels to dilate, though in cardiac muscle it has a stimulating effect. Epinephrine also stimulates adrenergic receptors, enhancing and prolonging effects of sympathetic stimulation. The effects of a neurotransmitter on any postsynaptic cell is determined by characteristics of the receptors, not by the neurotransmitter. The termination of actions of norepinephrine and epinephrine involve monoamine oxidase, MAO, an enzyme that breaks up neurotransmitter molecules taken back up by the synaptic knobs, and catechol-O-L methyltransferase, COMT, an enzyme that breaks down the remaining neurotransmitter. Acetylcholine binds to two types of cholinergic receptors, nicotinic receptors and muscarinic receptors. The termination of action of acetylcholine is by the enzyme acetylcholinesterase. Autonomic neurotransmitters and receptors may influence different types of presynaptic and postsynaptic receptors at synapses with dually innervated effectors. This summation of effects increases precision of control. The autonomic nervous system functions to regulate visceral effectors in ways that tend to maintain or quickly restore homeostasis. Sympathetic and parasympathetic divisions are tonically active, often exerting antagonistic influences on visceral effectors. Doubly innervated effectors continually receive both sympathetic and parasympathetic impulses, and the summation of the two determines the controlling effect. Under resting conditions, the sympathetic division can act to maintain the normal functioning of doubly innervated autonomic effectors. Sympathetic impulses function to maintain normal tone of the smooth muscle in blood vessel walls. The major function of the sympathetic division is that it serves as an emergency system, that is, the fight-or-flight reaction. The parasympathetic division is the dominant controller of most autonomic effectors most of the time. Acetylcholine slows heartbeat and acts to promote digestion and elimination. The big picture: the peripheral nervous system and the whole body. The peripheral nervous system is made of all the afferent nervous pathways coming into the CNS and all the efferent pathways going out of the CNS. Peripheral pathways are pathways that lead from the integrator central nervous system to the effectors. Peripheral motor pathways serve as an information-carrying network that allows the CNS to communicate regulatory information to all the nervous effectors in the body. Every major organ is influenced, directly or indirectly, by peripheral nervous system output.